back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It says so right under here, underneath my Coons Ford logo here. We are finally, we have returned to the Mecca.
We are
here at Fadley's. It is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. You know, we're going to do a Maryland crab cake tour, and we're going to let ourselves play, and we've had these masks on. I want to give big appreciation to Roz and everybody, John, Carol, everybody at the Maryland Lottery for giving me a mask. I let ourselves play. We're going to be with our mayor, Brandon Scott, at Coco's next week. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand on Friday. We're going to be coming to the Ville and the Beaumont. We're going to be up in Harford County on Black Friday at Conrad's. But this is the Mecca. I've lived downtown for 2 decades. When people come in, they say, where do I go for a crab cake downtown? I'm like, you just walk over there, Utah, Packer, you walk into the world-famous Lexington Market. Only been here since 1782.
Yeah, been here
only
a while.
I see the sign right here, 1782. And we're at Fadley's, and we love it here, and we're going to have Damien on in a little bit. We're doing the recon. We're doing the recon on site.
On site, as you said, in the Mecca, it doesn't get any more. I mean, I love looking. We're looking at the neon sign, Fadley Seafood. One of the iconic businesses in Baltimore City. Just an incredible operation. Bill and Nancy Hahn.
We're here early in the morning because
Bill and Nancy Devine. I'm sorry, Damien Hahn.
If we came in at lunchtime, it gets a little crowded. So what we tried to do, obviously for social distancing and having some space, we're going to have some great guests here this week. We had great guests last week. The Crab Cake Tours brought people like David Marks telling me stories about you when your ears must have been burning last week. We were at Silver Spring Mining Company.
David Marks and myself were proof that Republicans and Democrats at the local government level can put aside.
I got to hit a note to Barry Glassman because I'm coming back up to Harford County on Black Friday. We're going to be at Comrades. Fadley's is legendary. We're going to be having the crab cakes here. But the recon this week, I'm in my old stomping grounds at Colgate Elementary, and Johnny O shouted me out. So thank you, Johnny.
Wait a minute now. We need a little background. Folks need to know that you grew up over on the east side, one of the oldest elementary school buildings in Baltimore County.
1924.
And just recently, County Executive Oshevsky and the principal and the entire school community came together to cut the ribbon, and you were an honored guest as a distinguished alum.
I stood off on the side with my hair out.
As a distinguished alum.
I have so many things to say to you about this, and this is perfect because this happened on Tuesday. We're here at Fadley's on a Wednesday, so it's been about 24 hours, and I'm having it marinate a little bit. My wife asked me about it. It was kind of a magical experience in a lot of ways, not just because of the neighborhood and where I parked by the old Ryder store and thinking about getting red cream soda out of the suburban machine there when I was a boy for 10 cents and saving the bottles and the beer we used to drink on the playground, the steps that the county executive doesn't want to hear about later in life. I parked the car, I walked down, and the first person I saw was your daughter. So, like, literally out of the corner of my eye, the first person familiar with a mask on was your daughter. And from the minute I got there, everything about it was weirdly like spirits were talking to me. You know what I mean? Like, literally. And you're one of those spirits because on the way out, I met a couple of people and I said, who are you guys? They're like, oh, we're the guidance counselors here. I'm like, oh, let me tell you a story about a guidance counselor back
there
in the day. I don't know if we had a guidance counselor.
Did you have your image of your mom and dad at PTA meetings? Was it all coming back?
Everything came back because I want to brag on this because I talked a little bit with Bill Cole about it on our segment this week from Cole Roofing. But I want to say this. I've watched it go up from the outside. My son still lives in the home that my parents bought in the early 1950s and settled in 1953. I realized when I was in the school about an hour, and my mother actually went to Colgate Elementary too.
Wow.
My maternal mother went to Colgate Elementary, lived on Gulf Street. And I pulled up, and the children came out to sing a song. And it turns out my son knows the music teacher there, Miss Blue, she's a beautiful lady. And the children were singing a song, and they came out. And the first thing and this is Johnny O's been up, and the politicians, and Crandall's over there, and Johnny's over there, and Rick Metzger. I said hello to all of them, right? Daryl Williams, the good doctor, was there. Everybody's doing their thing. But then the children got involved, and the children come marching out wearing Colgate Comets shirts. And I was.
Are they the Comets?
I was the third grade. It was the Comets and Bombers before that. We don't talk about Bombers, but Comets. My son knew it was Comets.
I don't know that I knew it was
my
Comets.
My son has a Comet shirt because my son went to Colgate.
So
my mother went to Colgate. My stepbrother went to Colgate. I went to Colgate. My son went to Colgate. If my son had a son right now, or a daughter, they would go to Colgate because they live in that house, right? My son's like, I'm not selling the house now. We got a beautiful school.
Yeah, that's it. Well,
right? In the neighborhood.
Something to talk about. There you go. Yeah, Barry has really hit on something, Nestor, and that is that, you know, I'm so proud every time Baltimore County opens a new elementary school. It's something that, you know, all of my predecessors, you know, as county executives have worked hard on school construction issues, and certainly, you know, Jim
how does
Smith
that happen? Did, give me 90 seconds. Don't I mean I well, don't go politician.
No,
on
no,
me.
No.
We're doing the recon right now.
It's pretty.
How
easy.
Does it? Colgate was really old and falling apart in a neighborhood that's changing, and I'll talk about that.
Yeah,
in a minute.
We had a simple Kevin Kamenetz created what has become known as the Schools for Our Future program. He ended up investing $1.8 billion. Obviously, County Executive Olszewski's taking that to a whole new level. But it was done strategically. Your question is a good one. And that is, it wasn't just, well, let's give this kid, you know, it's not like Oprah. We'll give you a school. We'll give you a school.
Don, I'll tell you, in the 70s, when I went to school, Stricker was the new school.
Right.
Hollaberg was the old school,
Yep.
I mean, Colgate was a really old school.
But you asked.
Some kids had air conditioning, I guess is my point, in the 80s.
But
you
asked a good question. And that is, we really did do a systemic analysis of all school buildings, which were the oldest, which were in the most need of repair. One of the things we looked at is that we wanted to make sure that when we built new schools, we were building them to sufficient capacity, and we wanted it to be comprehensive. So a lot of Colgate may have been one of these. I don't have it off the tip of my tongue, but that may have been a smaller 300 or 400 school. My guess is the new Colgate's probably 625 or so in that range. So you try to have a strategic approach to which schools are being replaced, and then you have to fund it. And it's a combination of state and county funding. And one of the things that the county has been famous for is the county...
It makes the neighborhood way more attractive.
It improves the neighborhood. The county has always been willing to put up its share of the funds. It's always a little bit harder, and we've had a very supportive delegation to make sure that the state also puts up their portion, because the state has 24 subdivisions that they're looking toward. And I think County Executive Olszewski made a very wise move in that he said, look, our money's there, but we're not moving forward until we're guaranteed the state money. We don't want to raise false expectations.
But Colgate going up is about Kamenetz and you.
Well,
right?
I mean, it was certainly part of the Schools for Our Future program, no doubt about it. And as you said, what your son said, well, we won't move now. That's the key, is that, and this will get into...
You raise a family in the neighborhood.
You raise a family in the neighborhood.
This is American stuff,
quality,
right? Literally.
And public schools. I mean, you asked me, you know, that I've had grandchildren all over the place. I have grandchildren in public school. I have grandchildren in private school. Both my son and daughter went all the way through the public school system. Obviously, my family, my wife and I and sister-in-law, public school employees for many, many years. So we're committed to public schools. And that's the one thing. Regardless of the success, and Maryland is famous for its successful private schools. It's public and it's private and it's Catholic schools. And there's, it's always that old joke.
I told you the story about going out to McDonough when I was in sixth grade. Miss Johnson wanted me to go to McDonough.
Beautiful. I don't know if I remember that.
Oh, my
beautiful
God. I'll never forget that. It prepared me for when I read Catcher in the Rye a few years later with Miss Monday at Dundalk High with you.
In what way?
Oh, man, you're taking me down a way different road. But when I was in sixth grade, the best teacher I ever had was, and if I could ever find her children, Beth or Eric, Elizabeth E.O. Betsy Johnson, a taskmaster of a woman, the wicked witch to a lot of parents because she held people responsible. She was, if you were the principal there, I think you probably would have battled with her about the way she was completely eccentric, plants all over the room, taught us how to say thank you and you're welcome as we held the door open in a dozen different languages. So when you held it, so she was very into culture, very liberal in her views, very current events oriented. She made us all subscribe to the Baltimore Sun in sixth grade, and we spent Friday every week doing current events. And this is in 1979. Yeah. So we're talking about Three Mile Island.
Sound like
we're
I'd
talking
have been
about Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin.
Sure.
We're talking about Jimmy Carter. We're talking about Ronald Reagan. Things that I learned in 1979 in room 210. You know how I remember it was 210? Her cat's name was Tootin. 210. That was her room. Now, so this is 1970. She affected me greatly. No offense to you or Miss Monday or Don Leifert. I would call her Carolyn Houck. I got teachers. You start talking about teachers the most. But Bessie Johnson thought that I belonged in private school because I had, I was in a broken family. I had a Hispanic father, alcoholism in my family. She got me to take the Iowa test because I was a 99 percentile. I still have my – I was a 99 percentile Iowa test kid. That's how I skipped a grade. That's how you found me a year early. So I went out to McDonough on a Saturday morning. My parents drove me out there. My grandfather lived on Meadow Heights Road right next to McDonough. So I had been driving out there for holidays all my life. So I knew how far it was every day to get on the bus. I'm 10 years old. And I went out, took the Iowa test that I'm very familiar with. You know, you fill in the box, ABC, number two pencil. They made you do the Iowa test in like half the time to see like how good you were. It was like, I think I'm good at Jeopardy till I went and did Jeopardy.
Right, till you played Ken Jennings.
You're right, exactly. And I went out there and I never heard another word about anything or like whether my parents got involved. I mean, at this point, my Venezuelan father's trying to steal me and take me to Venezuela. Like, crazy stuff's happened. John Coulihan got involved at that point on behalf of our late great friend Ted. But I went out there that day and I just, it wasn't for me.
Right.
Well, and my parents wanted me to go to Mount Carmel, Curley.
Sure.
You know, I had that option. My parents were like, they would have spent the money if I would have wanted to go to Curley. I had no interest in going to Curley. There was all of the race baiting going on in 1979-80. I'm sure you're aware of this at Dundalk High with Kenwood and Dundalk and where your children would go to school and whether there would be children of color. And I guess this brings me back to – you finish up on the Colgate funding. Are you done with that? Because I want to bring us back to your daughter.
Yeah, well, again, the funding point that I'm making is that I think your son really nails it when he says this is a stabilizer for a community. And you had asked me – you know, to talk now that I am getting to see the private school thing sort of up close and personal as well. There, the one thing we can never lose sight of, as I said just a couple of minutes ago, is that the only way this nation thrives and is successful and reaches its full potential is through investment in its public schools. We'll never be able to do it through charter schools and private schools. That's a different subset, and it provides choice.
You can move Chip and Buffy to Amherst, that's fine, but the rank and file, this country.
Well, there are even more and more. Listen, I would say in terms of the private schools.
I'm a product of public schools, so I'm a public school advocate.
That I'm familiar with. Private schools are increasingly diverse as well, but the point being, you'll never be able to take care of the masses that you need to take care of and educate through private schools. And I always say that if there's a difference, the difference isn't the teachers, you know, and the fact that, you know, I was around phenomenal teachers my entire life.
How many years were you in a school? How many years were you in a school?
Look at Damie bringing out.
How many years were you in a school?
In a school?
Yes.
Goodness, thank you.
I don't want to spit on the food. Here, put the food over here for a minute.
How many years was I in a school? We're going to bring Damie Hahn around here in just a minute or two. I was in and out of schools for 30 years. I mean, you know, off and on, even as central office administrator.
Thousands of teachers. Thousands of teachers. Thousands of teachers.
Great teachers. Teachers making.
For people that don't know you as a teacher, they look at you as a politician or the guy with Kevin or the guy with Jim. I know you as doing nothing but being education. So when I go to a school and I realize Kevin's gone, you're here, your daughter's here, Johnny O's here, and I look up at these orange bricks and this beautiful thing, this Camden Yards that's been built in my neighborhood.
Right.
It's kind of took my breath away, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, so that's, you know, yes, they're magnificent. If you have not seen one of Baltimore County's new elementary,
I tried to explain to my Dundalk High. I went to lunch with Stanley Jablonski in Essex yesterday at Pizza John's, and I'm like, he hadn't been to Dundalk High. I'm like, dude, You got to see it.
Yeah, no,
like
very
if you have any association to any of these schools, you need to come back to your roots and see it because it's in a better place, Don. Yeah, it's in a better place than Betsy Johnson in 1979 left.
Oh no, no, it's phenomenal. And again, the money piece is you have a limited amount of money. We have billions and billions of dollars in needs in Baltimore County. You think you have 174 schools. You know, I can remember we used to use this statistic all of the time. Nestor Kevin Kamenetz used to say that, you know, 80% of our schools in Baltimore County during the Kamenetz administration were more than 40 years old. Well, we'd build new schools and renovate, and that number wasn't getting better because other schools were turning 40. So when you have that many schools built to accommodate baby boomers and their children, you have ongoing needs, and you have to prioritize. Sometimes that means a high-quality renovation. Sometimes it needs a new school. But let me make the one point, going back again, your question about private versus public. The one thing that jumps at me, and it's not something that we can address in public school, quite honestly, so we've got to figure out how to fill in these gaps other ways. But the thing that jumps at me is the class size. It appears to me that in the elite private schools in the area, class size is anywhere from 12, 13, 14 students in a class. That's significant and a big difference from someone sitting in a class of 28 or 30. And one of the things, I've had this discussion many, many times over the years. The problem with reducing class size, which you'll get into that debate over and over again with public school advocates, is that they'll say, well, if you reduce class size, it improves student achievement. The answer to that is yes, but there's a big but. It's not if you reduce class size from 30 or 31 to 27 or 28 or 24 or 25. In order to have the significant impact on student achievement, you have to have these major reductions of, for example, 28 down to 14 or 15. Then anybody, you don't have to be an educator.
It's certainly in the elementary school.
You don't have to be an educator to understand why that makes a difference, and you don't have to be an
educator. If you've ever watched seven-year-old children, you probably would, for an hour, you'd know that.
And even middle or high school, and you don't have to be an educator to understand, my goodness, that teacher will have more time to focus on the individual needs of each and every student. Now, we're never going to be able to do that anywhere in the nation because it would truly be cost prohibitive. There's no way to fund it. So therefore, we have to look at other and great schools do this and great school systems do this. We have to find other ways to create that culture and that sense of belonging that you are indeed in a special place, because we want each school and each community school to feel special for your family and other families. So with that, look who's here.
No, hang on.
Oh, wait a minute.
I haven't gotten to my cold.
Oh, wait,
story.
Hold it.
He thinks he's the host of the show, and he's not. So, there's this whole,
All right, we're going to do Colgate. Give me your Colgate story. We're back to Colgate.
Well, I mean, now I want to eat a crab cake, but, I'll just tell the Colgate story another time. It's all good.
No, come on, man. I want to hear it.
Let's have the crab cake.
Come
in
on,
here.
Damie. Come on around.
Here. Let's do it.
Damie, come on around and put on a headset here. That's
well,
right.
This is the
Show
world
what
famous.
We got here.
This is the world famous Fadley's crab cake. Damie's here, and I tell you what, for us, it's been too long since we've been here. I've come in here with, and I'll get your headset right. You're good. Now I can hear you, right? You have to say something for me to hear you. Yeah, that's how we test things around here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Damie Hahn.
Good morning.
Making Fadley's run.
Since the last time we were here, and Don, I have to go back and figure out, was it Mary Miller, was it? I'm trying to think. It was on the campaign trail January 2 years ago. We had T.J. Smith here. We had
Theroux
here.
Yeah.
We had Dan Rodericks in the back and Martin O'Malley in the front. We had things happening here. And I didn't know we weren't going to set up in here for this long. So it's been going on 20 months since 21 months the last time we were here. I've been in here at least monthly, grabbing crab cakes, taking mac and cheese home, taking coleslaw home, taking all. How many fish? Every time I come here, you ever had this fish here? We're going to clean that, and it goes in the bag, and my wife and I would taste test it. My wife has really come around on crab cakes, so she's going to get half of this one today on the way out of here. But
not this one. I'll give her another.
How are you? Mm-hmm. How's
Hanging
life?
In there.
Look at this beautiful market. We're here. I smells like crab cake morning here.
Yeah.
Your parents and you got some hell of a run from the Today Show, right?
We did. We had Al Roker come and visit, which was wonderful when he was back here in Baltimore a few weeks ago. Was up at the stadium.
Now, he had been here like 3 decades ago, right? They got a picture from a generation ago,
We had a picture from the 1990s of him and mom and dad and the dad, and he had the crab hat on, and it's
I think
an
if
old
you meet
picture.
Your parents in the 90s, you remember them today. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. Your parents are kind of unforgettable.
Yeah, I would
way,
think.
You know?
And he's been ordering crab cakes from us ever since. So he had done his one of his shows, Roker on the Road,
I'm
or something like that.
Make this a lot
that.
More comfortable for you right here. There you go.
Oh,
all
thank
right.
you. Thank you.
You're the third one this week that's put it on backwards. Don't worry. I'm serious.
Upside down?
Yeah.
So I just grabbed on the black on black. I can't see. So anyway, he had been here years ago, and then when he was in Baltimore doing the
Sunday night
down.
Football game.
Well, he was
well,
actually
no,
doing
he was doing
for the schools.
He was doing Digital Harbor. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. We have to get her on.
Right.
The principal
yeah.
Digital, by the way, the principal Colgate yesterday brings us right back to schools.
Right.
See, Al was here doing a thing at Digital Harbor. Good.
Right.
It was a tablet thing, right? All the kids got tablets.
Yes,
right?
And he wanted to serve them all Fadley's crab cakes. So we had we took crab cakes down. We got up early in the morning and took crab cakes down. He wanted to make sure that they were there. And he said, I
think
can't
Al
leave.
Wanted to make sure Al had crab cakes.
He thinking, says, I can't. Know. No, they actually gave them out to the kids. So he wanted to make sure that they were doing a show. The Today Show was doing a, for their Today Online, the streaming, the Today.com, all Today All Day.
My wife watches Today every morning. My wife is a, Dan Jarris and I rode an elevator the other day. I you know, he's very heartened that my wife is a BAL
there you go.
Viewer in the morning.
So, but it's Today All Day. So you can stream it all day long. And,
you can watch it right now if you want.
Yes, you can.
And the feature, and Don, you were like on a boat or on a crew. I don't know where
I
you
think
were.
I was in New York that day. That
yeah,
I
fair
was
enough,
there.
Fair enough. Yeah, I knew he was getting good muffins up in New York. I was helping him out. And the piece came on the actual TV show. We thought it was going to be on Today.com. And my wife and I was texting with you. And then, boom, there's Al sitting at Fadley's, your parents, blah, 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 years. It really was about black crabbers on the rivers, blackjacks,
yes.
And this was a history piece, literally
yes.
a crabbing on the bay history piece.
Well, what the piece is about family businesses. So if you go on today.com and Al's got a show about families, and we were a part of that show. So the show in Baltimore hits three places. It hits us. It hits another restaurant in Baltimore, and it also hits the Blackjacks.
I love your she has a crab on necklace here.
Yeah, we're always
people give you
crabbing.
Stuff, right? I mean, they must just get like
I had to buy this
you
must, one.
But I mean, over the years, between crabs and oysters and muskrat and all the things your family's got going on. Every little trinket comes your way. With Fadley's, it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. The lottery's giving me, like, koozies and stuff. I've got scratch-off tickets, so we can let ourselves play at some point, and I'll be doing that next week as well. We're taking this tour. This whole thing was really inspired. I keep telling you this. And in the summer, you know, she had me down at the Crab Pickery.
Right.
Down in Cambridge with
Clayton.
With J.M. Clayton, and Jack was down there. So you have opened the doors for all of this. And this crab cake tour, even when I'm flying, I'm fishing with Dan Rodericks, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, out on Western Maryland. I'm telling the story about, like, a couple years ago, Don and I thought we need to change the world. A couple years ago, we thought we need to do it in places that are authentic to Baltimore. I know Damien, I know Costas, and I know, and they all turned out to be crab people, you know, at State Fair, and we had crab cakes over there. This has been one of the great things that I've done, that getting us out to meet new people and talk about things. So I'm very appreciative. Yeah. Tell me about, like, this time of year, because orders come Thanksgiving. I know Billick ordered Thanksgiving crab cakes from you a couple years ago. Christmas orders. Do we have to get ahead of it?
We're talking crab cakes and lobster tails, right? I'm guessing.
Crab cakes, lobster tails, shrimp, oysters. Oysters
shrimp,
is a big thing for
right.
For Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving
oyster stew, oyster stuffing, all of
people, right. Do people stuff their turkeys with oyster stuffing.
Do people come in and buy raw oysters like
a
cooler full? They get, you know, they got
yes.
a bunch
they
of people
call it
coming
a peck,
over,
don't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
A bushel, a peck, yeah, half a bushel.
It's a peck.
A peck is four dozen.
I just made that. So, I mean, I just know it's a term. You know,
so they come in, they're on ice, they take them, and then they're shucking them on.
They ask me what a bushel is. It's about that big. The things I saw on this tour this summer, and Don and I talk a little bit about it, and he's spoiled. He's over at Kent Island, and you're in Chestertown, you know, all these places I had never really been, right? I got to the end of Hooper's Island, and I had a delicious crab cake at a place called Old Salty. So if you're over there, if you're over doing Harriet Tubman and that trail, if you're doing Blackwater Refuge, it's below there. You go there, see the birds, see the eagles, do all that, and then keep going. You go down the end of Hooper's Island, over a bridge, down to the end. Old Salty's, by the way, is in a schoolhouse. So there's your school reference.
There you
all right,
go.
It's an old schoolhouse, 100-year-old schoolhouse. But next to it, I saw, it looked like the salt when you're going through the tunnel, you know, in the winter, big oyster shells.
Yes.
The oyster recovery is something that I learned about in the grasses. And, of course, this is where they put it because this is at the end, down at the end of the riverbed. They have the oyster shells there ready to, I guess.
Respat.
So what sedentary eyes? So what's the word?
No, they respat.
And respat. Then that's a new word.
We're going to be educated here. Go
I
ahead.
Learned what a peck was a minute ago.
So and people don't realize how important the oyster industry is to the crab industry. So without the oysters to filter the water, we don't get anything in the Chesapeake Bay. The oysters are the Chesapeake Bay's filter.
They're the seeds that make the crabs.
They're the filter that cleans
the water enough
in order for the grasses to grow and for the whole ecosystem to work.
Isn't it?
It is amazing.
Nature's incredible.
So it's really important. I mean, if you love oysters, you'd really do us all an environmental favor by eating them and recycling the shells.
Look at that jumbo.
Well,
Damie,
as Nestor's getting ready to dig into this beautiful Baltimore's best crab cake, tell us a little bit. It continues to me, it seems, as a small business person, to be a struggle to come out on the other side of the pandemic. Take people behind the curtain a little bit and just tell them how hard it is.
Oh, it continues to be very hard. It's very difficult, especially, you know, for those of us in the crab and seafood industry, because we're still having a difficult time getting product. The increase in the cost has been astronomical this year. I don't. I'm
$55
sure you
know. A pound when I was
is it,
down
is
on
it
the
coming
shore.
Coming down at all
on
Damien?
The shore, $50. So up here in Baltimore or in D.C., you're closer to $70.
Is it moderating at all, Damien? Is it coming down in price at all?
I'll tell
or
you
not
the
much.
Only no. I'll tell you the only thing that
well, it's a picking issue as much as it's a crab issue.
It's a processing issue because we couldn't get the visas, and that's still something we're battling. You know, we're still battling that. People need to realize that our government does not deem seafood an essential food source, and it should be.
I learned this from Ben Cardin, who I sat with at Ocean City. I sat with folks on the Eastern Shore that are involved in your industry and care deeply about your industry, that this is something that we compete in Maryland with the salmon pickeries in Alaska for the people who can process this food.
Yes. But the salmon pickeries in Alaska have no cap because they're considered essential. You understand?
Fish is essential.
Okay.
Crab isn't.
Think about it. Farming's essential. If we don't have people to farm and pick the...
So they have unlimited visas?
They have unlimited visas because without them, you can't let the food rot in the field. Same thing with seafood, but because it's not farm raised and it's wild, they're not considering it essential, and they should. So the state of Alaska, their senators and congresspeople fought to make their seafood industry essential. That's the only place it's essential. The rest of us,
they're an exporter.
And yes, they are an exporter, and they had a. They also part of the reason.
Well, they can't eat all the salmon they catch there. They don't have enough people.
Well, part of the reason, though, was also because of roe, and the roe was the caviar, and getting the caviar on an international market to be competitive. So they got taken care of. What we need to do is have Congress take care of the rest of the seafood industry, and not cap it. Because we're not competing with them. We're competing with construction workers, landscapers, hospitality groups, carnival workers that are temporary, short term. Because seasonal workers,
sure, 90-day workers, right?
Or in the case of crab, it's 6 months. So we have a 6 month season, and it's every year it's designated by the Department of Natural Resources, and that's managed by the Department of Natural Resources.
So beginning two, 3 weeks from now, you can't catch a crab in the water, right?
After December 1st, you're
December
done.
December 1st.
So, okay. Danny, December 1st, you're
to
done.
To break it down, because
I'm looking
such,
at this. I haven't had breakfast. I'm looking at this crab cake. It's killing me in here.
It is such an important issue.
They're good for breakfast.
I want our listeners to understand it. Is the issue, because they've heard about it tangentially, is the issue for the crab pickers that they've limited the amount of visas that are issued for people allowed to come. And I'm assuming,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. And then it's a limit. Okay. It's a limit. There's a cap on the program.
Right.
The program is called H-2B.
Right.
We fall under the category of H-2B.
H-2B okay? visa.
H-2B visa. And that cap is $66,000 for the nation.
Ben Cardin explained all this to me, Don.
Okay.
Literally.
So, $66,000 for the whole country. Okay, so except for salmon, they don't have a cap.
Right.
So whatever the salmon fishery needs for their season to get their season done, they get them. Crabbers, we have to compete.
Texas, North Carolina, that's Florida, everywhere, right?
Yep. Or shrimp processing, same thing, Louisiana. Oyster processing, same thing.
Crawfish, same thing.
Once you get 66,000, it's cut off.
It's cut off. And they're competing.
Who makes these numbers
They're
up?
Competing with the other industries, like I said, landscaping, construction, hospitality.
Because it's under the heading seasonal workers.
Seasonal workers.
Right.
And what happens is everybody puts in their request. And because the demand is higher than the available 66,000, they need, everybody wants a whole lot more, especially the construction workers.
Jack told me year to year, never knows how many he's going to get.
Correct, because it's a lottery.
It's a lottery.
So if you have 66,000 and you have requests for 120,000, everybody's got a lottery.
Right.
And you're giving them out by lottery. The problem with the crab processing is 1 year they could get all 40 that somebody like Jack could ask for 40 and get all 40. And the next year he gets 4. So how do you run your company? And there's only a few.
Well, you don't know how many crabs are coming out of the water either. Let's start with that, too.
Yes, but they need at least 40 to pick what they know they're going to get.
I've been in the house there watching it happen. It's an amazing thing. If you haven't been out to our YouTube, by the way, speaking of lotteries, it's presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour would not be a crab cake tour if we were not at Fadley's today with Amy Hahn, of course, former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller here, and talking about crabbing issues.
And I want to take advantage of Damey, because Damey, there's another issue that drives me absolutely insane, along with the visas for the temporary workers. I know we were talking about this issue 2 years ago, and the fact that it's still an issue makes my head explode. So I hope our listeners pay attention. I hope you'll figure out a way to get involved and communicate with your appropriate government officials. But I want to make sure that I'm not misstating this. So if I'm someone who's on food assistance, food stamps, SNAP program, I can walk into Wise Markets today or Giant, or you pick
Royal Farms,
and buy a piece of fish, something healthy for me. I can buy a piece of flounder, a piece of salmon, whatever, and I may use my SNAP card or my food stamps to purchase that healthy food. That
Correct.
Part accurate?
Yes.
Now, Lexington Market, Fadley Seafood, for years has basically been the grocery store for many people in this area.
So Brandon Scott would tell you that, and he came through here every day of his life going to school.
They don't have access to a bunch of the supermarkets that exist out there in the suburbs. So they come
Correct.
In here to want to buy a piece of salmon or some shrimp or some flounder.
Or a banana.
And they are not allowed to use their SNAP card. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Now, folks, I don't know how we can make it much simpler than that. Fadley Seafood, Lexington Market, is basically the grocery store for thousands of residents in the area. and they are precluded by the United States Department of Agriculture from using their SNAP cards in here, putting people like Damie and Bill and Nancy at a true disadvantage. Damie, it's just wrong. Give us an update on where we are trying to get this fixed.
Well, I wish I knew. We have been battling now for a couple of years with the USDA. They changed their rules on how they look at businesses. You can get, you can use your SNAP benefits at a 7-Eleven for a Twinkie and an energy drink, but they took our USDA machine away in the middle of the pandemic in June of 2020. And we have three different stalls. We have a cooked food stall, we have our raw bar stall, and we have a separate fish market that's been there. My great-grandfather started it in 1886. And we have 90% of what we sell on there is food stamp eligible, and they took our food stamp machine away. And they cited some new rules that they put into effect that we were under the same roof as
new rules for a 150-year-old business.
Yes. I promise you that this is one of the many topics we will be discussing with our next guest, who's just walked into the world-famous Fadley's. That's former gubernatorial candidate Ben Jealous, president of People for the American Way.
You can have a crab cake, you just can't have this one.
No, he can't. He can't. We're going to talk about why he can't.
Damie Holland is here. I tell you what, we'll wrap on this. I will tell you my Colgate story, give you for next week's recon, all right?
We'll do Colgate right next week. We're going to follow this USDA story.
We're going to talk
To Ben about it. We're going to continue to reach out to our congresspeople. I am confident that when we tell Mr. Jealous what's going on and people's inability to use their SNAP cards to come in and buy a fresh piece of fish, I know him pretty well. I think his head will explode much in the way that mine will. So, Damie, thanks as always.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm still elbow bumping. I'm not hugging a lot of people.
We need to get you open in Catonsville so I can come up the street.
We're plugging away ever so slowly.
My elbow means love. Your mom's here some Saturdays, right?
She's here Friday and Saturday.
Come down and see Miss Nancy.
Come down and see Mom. She'll make you a fresh one. We've
Absolutely.
Got the Crab Cake Tour. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play, and I've got my cup out. We're going to be Friday at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium. I'm crab cake. I didn't have a crab cake the whole month of October because I was on my back.
Well, it's
I'm
oyster
double dipping
season.
Here.
That's right.
Telling
it's oyster season. We got to change
go.
Up and
there
do the oysters. I'm telling you, you gotta
I don't know
teach
the Rockefellers, but I'd love to know them. So
I will make you anything oyster. And let me tell you something. Oyster Recovery Partnership, they're doing a great job around the state. And
as your dad says, who needs Viagra? We got oysters here.
That's right.
We're down
That's
here
right.
in Lexington Market, the world famous Lexington Market. I'm looking right over Ben's shoulder here. It says since 1782. We've been doing it down here, and certainly my 30th anniversary coming up next month. I'll be beginning the celebration with Don over in the Ville on December the 9th. We're going to be at Costas next month. We're going to be at Pappas next month. We are at Coco's next Wednesday with Brandon Scott. That's an afternoon special, and then on Friday, Black Friday, we're going to be in Abingdon at Conrad's Crabs and having a Conrad crab cake. So you have inspired me, and there is nothing like this. No one makes it like you do.
All right,
no one tried to even steal.
Nope. Oh, they all
try
to steal.
Half. I want one half of it.
Dig in.
Half.
There you go.
I'm Nestor. He's Don. We're down here. We're back for more Baltimore Positive right after this.